What's up now, freaks, sharpness geeks, and purveyors of static goodness? Welcome to the Knife Freak Show. I'm Jonathan McNeese, joined here by my co-host, Mr. Chase Boatwright.
Hey, guys.
Don't you just love the enthusiasm?
Yeah.
We'll get him perked up. He hadn't had enough caffeine yet today.
Oh, yeah.
All right. How you doing today, Chase?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good, too, man. Doing good. So this is brand new. We're going to try this podcasting thing, see how it works out, give us a chance to run our mouths a little bit. So I'm excited. How about you?
I'm very excited. I spend, 5 days a week in a shop all by myself, so I have nobody to talk to.
Yeah, gives you a chance to get it out a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, I know you're like me. You listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff, too, while you're working. So kind of in that world anyway on the consuming end of it. So we'll give this shot. Give this a shot on putting some stuff out there. So, all right, cool. Well, what we thought we would do today, we're going to probably be super unprofessional. Hopefully, we'll get better as we go. For this first one, we were just going to give you a brief introduction of both of our kind of our history. Going to keep it real brief. We'll get into more detailed stuff down the road as we go through the podcast. But we'll just give you a brief rundown today, and then we'll move on through things. So, I'll start with a brief background of how I got to where we're at right now. Basically, always loved knives. Always had a creative itch. Always wanted to make stuff or do something kind of artistic or creative. And back in the early 2000s, the internet came around. And I'm old enough to be pre-internet, so I didn't have like a neighborhood, local person that like made knives and stuff that I got any kind of influence from. Like, I didn't really know anything about custom knives really at all. I guess I somehow, knew they existed, but not enough to send me down a rabbit hole of looking for information about how to do it or anything. So I just got every knife I could get my hands on. So, So internet came around, I got to looking, and I started seeing stuff that wasn't just your average, buck knife or, Gerber or whatever, was popular at the time, and started seeing some custom stuff, the smaller batch production stuff. One of the biggest ones that stands out to me was Strider knives. Huge props to those guys, because when I saw their stuff, it was their fixed blades at the time. They were really heavy in fixed blades then. And man, I was just like, okay, this is not, I've never seen this at my local hardware store or Walmart. So that sent me down the rabbit hole, and I discovered the knife forums, which were really big at the time before social media was really a thing. I guess that was social media then. Strider was, Badlands was probably long gone before you ever got on any of the forums, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember Badlands.
Yeah, it was, I think I got in there right at the like tail end of it. Strider was really big on there. I think it was one of the bigger forums that they were on or whatever. At least that's what it seemed like at the time. And anyway, went from there. I found like Jersey Devil. I never spent a lot of time on Blade forums. I got on there at Jersey Devil, and then the USN were the two big forums that I got into. And man, there was so much information on there. Just these guys, just these individuals in their garage or in this little shop, behind their house or whatever, making these, like, not just knives, but like badass knives, like stuff cooler than I'd ever even seen before.
Yeah.
And I was blown away, man. Like, just, can you remember the first time you saw like something that just like truly different that hit you?
I don't know about the first time, but I do remember having that sort of like, I don't remember the specific knife, but I do remember being like, that dude made this in a shed in his backyard. Like, really? Like, that sort of thing.
But. Yeah, it's crazy, man. And then what blew me away even more than that was that these guys were in there. They weren't just showing their stuff, but they're in there literally telling every detail about how they were doing it. Like, they were telling what they were doing, what equipment they were using, all their greatest and latest techniques. And I was just blown away, man. I mean, everybody was just like an open book.
Yeah.
I honestly learned the majority of everything I know about knife making in the early days off of those forums. I mean, it was crazy. When you get in the USN down the Steel Dust Junkies, which was basically like the knife makers discussion area. And man, you had like Mick Strider, you had Tom Mayo, Alan Alishowitz, like all these guys that are like, you couldn't pay enough to learn from these guys. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
you, it would be, you know, anything you pay would be a bargain to learn the information these guys have, and they're in there just giving it away for free. So man, I went hard into that. I just started learning stuff, and then I just jumped in with both feet. Well, I had a little like Harbor Freight, what are those things like, two,
One
four
by 30
by
or oh, four
42
by
or something
36.
like that. Yeah,
Yeah.
anyway, with a little disc thing on the side.
Yeah.
Went back there. I think it was some mild steel. I don't even, it wasn't even like actual knife steel. Ground something down that looks similar. It was basically probably worse than any prison shank that's ever even been made. But it was like, hey, like I removed some metal. This looks kind of like a knife. This is pretty cool.
Yep.
So I decided I still was from the very beginning, I kind of wanted to treat it like a business and not just a hobby. So, because again, I saw these guys not just making the knives, but they were selling them and stuff. And that the business side of it always really intrigued me too. And so I was like, okay, I could probably afford to save up a little money and go buy a grinder. But 'cause I had a full-time job at the time, but instead I built a basically a Franken grinder. We may talk about it a little more in another episode, but it was literally a Franken grinder. Like it was crazy that the thing even worked. And I ground hundreds, if not thousands of knives on that thing. Finally upgraded to a KMG and then basically just never looked back from there. So got, like most people, started heavy into fixed blades and then transitioned within the first couple of years to starting to do folders. And then it was a mix of that up until the point where, let's say, that I did it part time. Like I worked a lot as a part time guy. Like I spent all of my extra time making knives. So, but did that from like that was like 2008 when I first started, and I think it was 2014 that I went full time. I felt like I was making enough money at knives that I could at least equal what I was making at my regular job. So I quit and did that full time, and then around 2019, I think, is when I decided to make the switch and maybe try to do some small batch production stuff. We'll get more into that story yet. That actually leads into how we even know each other and how we're here. So,
Yeah.
did that. We're still working out of a 400 square foot shop with actually a little spoiler alert. It was me and Chase and one other, my son, working in a 400 square foot shop, starting the whole Mac 2 line. So, that's where that started. We ended up building a 3,500 square foot shop, moved into it, and bought some CNCs, and here we are cranking out, compared to what we were doing in that little shop, cranking out a lot of knives. So,
Oh, yeah.
yep. So that's kind of where we are from here. So, let's hear what you got on your story.
Not dissimilar in the fact that, you know, I always liked knives growing up. I always, you know, every birthday, every Christmas, I always wanted knives. There was nothing else really on my list. There was no toys. There was nothing else. It was just knives all the time.
Right.
And, you know, I think, I mean, I was on knife forums and I was on blade forums a little bit. Mostly knife forums was the one I gravitated to for whatever
Right.
reason. I think I liked the user interface better or
Right.
whatever. Maybe it was the background color was more appealing. I don't know. But I never really learned that much as far as like from the making side from it. I just mostly sort of expanded my knife base knowledge and learned like, oh, there's better knives out there. Like I remember people talking about, you know, Spyderco's and Benchmade's and Chris Reeves and stuff like that. And that sort of started the train rolling. Oh, looking what makes a better knife, what makes, you know, oh, there's different types of steels. Oh, okay, there's, you know, this and that. There's, you know, bearings, there's flippers, there's, you know, all this other stuff. And you know, that sort of I guess got the ball rolling. And mostly where I sort of started learning making stuff, I guess, was more YouTube. Was watching mainly a guy called Ecom Knives on YouTube. He used to do a lot of really good tutorials and questioning, like question and answer and stuff. That was sort of where I started sort of learning some of my information. And that was probably when I was in high school or so. So 2011, 2012, 2013, somewhere in there. And then once I graduated high school, I started sort of messing around, trying to grind some stuff. I got a 6x48 belt sander that runs approximately the speed of sound. And yeah, tried to grind some stuff on that. But, you know, I also tried to grind some stuff on just a, you know, stone bench grinder and made a little neck knife looking thing out of a piece of mild steel. It was like 1/4 inch, but the blade was maybe 1.5 inches or so. And it looked like a disco ball. It had so many facets on it. But yeah, that was sort of how that started. Kind of kept, I'm in college, I'm back and forth, I'm living in a tiny apartment 2 hours away from home, I'm not getting a whole lot of shop time, blah blah blah, excuses. But go a couple years down the road and still trying to make stuff, getting a little bit better equipment. Got a 2x42 eventually to kind of get used to grinding on two inch belt as opposed to that 6 inch belt that was kind of ridiculous. And sort of started making a little bit better headway, but I felt like I always learn better visually than I do from reading and stuff. So like I had some books and I had some, I went to the forums at that point and tried to kind of suss out some information, but I kind of felt like I needed somebody to show me what to do. And so I kind of sought that out. Like at this point in 2017, 2018, 2017 was the first time I went to Blade Show. So I sort of was starting to get more acclimated to the custom knife world, not just, higher end productions and stuff. And went in 2018, and then 2019, as I was leaving Blade Show, like on Sunday, I was watching everybody pack up, and I kind of had this idea in my mind, like, where do all these people come from? Like, where are all these people going? And I have a degree in geography, for those of you who don't know. So my brain kind of revolves around maps at the time while I was in college. And so I started making a knife maker map, and naturally, because alphabetical order and because selfish reasons, I started with Alabama, and found out that there was a knife maker 30 minutes from my house when I was living in Tuscaloosa, and it happened to be Mr. Jonathan McNeese. And so I shot him an email and got nothing. Now, he says he was testing me. Sure.
Was probably actually just lost track of it and forgot.
I understand. I understand. But me being persistent and stubborn and whatever I am, I sent him another email about 3 weeks later. And he graciously allowed me to come up to his shop. And, we came up there one afternoon. I think it was on a Friday afternoon. It was just before USN, the USN gathering in 2019. And he had a bunch of blades to hand rub. So he was just going to be sitting at his bench and, letting me talk, basically. And that's what we did. We sat there for about 5 hours and just, I asked all sorts of questions that I had no business asking at the time, like how to hand rub a blade. I hadn't even made a blade yet, hardly. So why do I need to know how to hand rub it? And asking about detents and lock interface and stuff, and hadn't even got close to making a folder. But anyway. So yeah, that sort of sparked into, he invited me back and said, "Hey, we'll get you some time on the grinder up here." And that was the first time I ground on a real 2x72 grinder, was his KMG that he talked about. And that's the first time I did a hollow grind, was standing in that 400 square foot shop. And then the plan was to sort of, he sort of invited me back again, and plan was to do that again. But in the meantime, he was like, "Hey, you interested in some apprentice work?" And my exact response was, "Oh, hell yeah." And I started working for him part time at first, and just one day a week. And it eventually, sort of moved into actual paying job as we moved forward. And like you said, we started to get the Mac 2 stuff rolling. And so that meant I basically, he taught me how to do locks and detents and finishes and surface grinding and profiling and, just all the things. So that was sort of, where that, started, is like I was working for him and he was teaching me, for the purposes of the job. And, he also allowed me to have access to his shop and his equipment after hours and, on my lunch breaks and stuff, where I could make my own stuff. And that's where, a lot of Most of my I made one knife in basically my own shop in the beginning. The rest of it all came from his shop. So, yeah. And then, yeah, I guess from there we kept going with that. I started working full time for you for a year or two.
You
Think it
were
was 2.5 years.
literally were the production side of the house. Like you were
Yeah.
the production team, basically.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
for the first, I think it was roughly 1,000 Mac 2s. I
Sounds
fit
right.
every lock. I fit every detent. I blasted every scale. I blasted every clip. I bent every clip.
Yep.
I still hate pocket clips, in case you're wondering.
Me too.
I hate all pocket clips. They're just categorically, I don't like
Yeah.
them. But yeah, did that for a while till we moved in the new shop. We got some other help, and at this point, I had moved to where I am now, and we were living about 2 hours away from each other. So that got a little old fast,
Yep, that's a
driving 4
drive.
hours a day. Yeah.
Yep.
So in September, I think it was September 2nd of 2022, I went full time and been doing it ever since. And I make folders, I make fixed blades, kind of just do the whole thing. But that's kind of my story, I guess.
Yep, I'm doing really well from my viewpoint. I'm really,
Thank
it's
you.
been really cool to watch the evolution of,
That first thing I brought in your shop.
from the first thing you brought, showed me to what you're showing me today. Like, yeah, it's pretty impressive. It's really cool to see. So, I'll, obviously I kind of have a vested interest in it. So it's pretty cool though. I've really enjoyed watching it. And not just on the actual knife making side, but going full time and making a business out of it, supporting your family, the whole thing. Like that's really cool. I've enjoyed watching that. So, and gonna keep watching it for a long time to come. So
That's
it
the
was
plan.
bittersweet for me when, I knew the time was coming where you'd fly out of the nest and go do your own thing, especially with when you ended up moving and then we moved the shop and the whole works. Like I knew it was a matter of time and I was
Yeah.
super happy and proud for you to do it. But at the same time, it was a tough loss because like you said, you were the person that had been doing everything. And then even by that time we had more employees, but nobody with anywhere near the experience and stuff that you had. So it was,
Yeah.
it definitely took some time to kind of to get built back up from that. So,
Yeah.
it was a little bittersweet, but, that's just the nature of the way things go. I certainly
Yeah.
wouldn't want to hold you back. So
No, I
I'm
appreciated
glad that
that,
it's panned out and working out. So,
Yeah,
and
you
now here we
always,
are.
you didn't hold back information, because you wanted to keep it arcane or anything like that, like
Well, I
I've
mean,
heard of other makers doing that, like with employees not wanting to teach them fully to
yeah,
make knives because they leave and make
they
knives
feel like
and
they're a threat. I mean, I would have never been making knives in the first place if other makers, I mean, it wasn't even people that had any, like, didn't even know me. I'm just on there stalking their posts on the forums and stuff and learning from them. You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, why would I hoard information when that's how I learned in the first place was by people being open and generous with it. So it's one of the things that I love about our industry so much, man. You can walk around. There's a few people that, act a little weird about stuff. I mean, and sometimes people have some really proprietary things that they do and you can kind of understand it, but most of the basic information is, I mean, it's not a secret and guys will be more than happy to share with you, critique you, and help you out. Like it's wild how much of that goes on in our industry. Like, and even just promoting each other too. Like guys at shows like, hey, have you seen so-and-so's work here? Come here, check this out. Look, or like, I just got this from him. Go check him out. Like, and sending their customers to go buy knives from somebody else. I don't think you see that in a lot of industries.
I don't think so. And that's, yeah, again, I mean, same thing what you said. I mean, that's probably one of my favorite parts about this. I mean, beyond just the knives, but as far as the industry itself, the way it operates is, I couldn't really ask for a better sort of community as far as how the makers act and, carry themselves and stuff. So.
I agree with that completely. All right, so we're to try to keep this thing rolling here and stay on some sort of a schedule. We're going to basically just kind of talk about what we plan on doing with the podcast from this point on. It's gonna we'll kind of figure it out as we go, which is kind of the way I do pretty much everything in life. But I'll just go ahead and tell you, Chase is way more of a planner. Like he got us an outline for the show and all that. I'm a like let's hop on the mic and wing it kind of dude. So he'll be hopefully balancing me out, so this will actually be a little more professional maybe. But we're planning on talking about well, since you came up with outline, let's just let you tell the guys, Chase, what
All right.
the listeners and viewers here, what we kind of plan on doing as far as the layout of the show.
I mean, we, for the most part, kind of generally talking about the knife industry and, new and upcoming things or, news in the industry per se, or how the industry is, sort of the industry trajectory, stuff like that. But, also I think sort of peeling back the curtain and how things are done and, not again with not being arcane with knowledge and, sort of sharing knowledge and, just kind of letting ourselves kind of come through and letting the listeners get to know us better and, us get to know the listeners better and stuff. That would be, good as well. So.
Absolutely. That's like you said about the industry. Like that's one of my other favorite things about it is getting to know, like, I mean, a lot of this, I mean, we get to know a lot of our customers and stuff. I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them, we do get to know them. Like it's not just like we're making stuff and randomly selling it on some anonymous website. Like it's, we really do develop relationships with our customers. So it's really cool.
That's definitely one of my favorite things. I was talking to a customer just, I mean, a minute ago, not even related to anything about selling knives, but I talk to him all the time and, he sent stuff for my daughter and, like I've sent stuff to his son and stuff. And like, it's super cool.
I
And,
know
he
it's
lives
awesome.
somewhere up in the Northeast and, I've never even met him in person, but
And you'd have never
it's.
connected if it wasn't for knives. Like that's cool. There's really a lot of connections made just over this a love of a simple one of the most simple basic tools that there is, So, all right.
I
So
like
yeah,
to
that's
say we're
now.
the,
Go
oh,
ahead.
sorry.
No, go ahead.
I like to say we're the world's second oldest profession, but
That's probably true. And one of the things we'll probably do is you talked about like the industry stuff, as you know from being in the shop with me, I like to I get on soapboxes sometimes and get carried away about stuff. So you do too. So we'll see. We'll
This
probably
is
get
true.
into some stuff and I'll tell y'all, like when Chase and I work together, like I mean, we do not always agree on all the topics and stuff. So we may, we might even be hashing stuff out on here as far as, he may have one opinion and I may have the other. Which is always good because I'm wrong a lot. So
Me too.
hearing another viewpoint on it is always a good thing. But all in all though, I think what we want to try to do is do a lot of like you said, let us get to know people, let them get to know us. Do a lot of sharing as far as technical stuff, just stuff about the industry in general, like kind of educational. Just letting people see, like you said, kind of behind the scenes, behind the curtain, and we'll hopefully be able to give you guys some knowledge that maybe you don't previously have, and try to put a positive spin on things. Anybody that's followed me and or Chase either one for any amount of time knows that we try to always, for the most part, keep a positive spin on things and stuff. So, like I said, I get pissed off now and then and go on a rant, but other than that,
I mean, that's one thing, but I mean, there's people that sort of constantly dwell on the negative and they're, constantly,
that's right. We definitely try
nitpicking.
not to do that. Yeah. Well, I feel like too, if you do that, if you constantly dwell on the negative and then like basically then people, it waters it down, your message down. Like, it's just more of the same. Nobody, people just kind of quit paying attention to you. It's just like more complaining or more whatever. And then, but if you've got somebody that's typically a positive person and everything's, typically positive, and then they speak out on something that typically holds a little more weight to me, at least the people that I've listened to, it does. So,
I would definitely agree.
plus, I try to be a positive person. So I want
It's tough some days.
what we put out to be positive too. Yeah. It's way too easy to head down the negative rabbit hole and stay there if you're not
I mean,
careful. So.
there's, especially doing what we do and, making stuff out of nothing.
Oh yeah.
There is no knife maker that has ever put steel to abrasive that is bad a thousand, bad at a
That's right.
thousand, like
You're never
you
going to
don't
please
mess up.
everybody. You're never going to make something that's for everybody. Like, and it's that's then we'll, this will be probably a good topic to get into pretty within one of the next couple of podcasts. But the emotional side, not to sound too soft here or whatever, but the emotional side of what we put into this stuff and put in our work, like we really put ourselves out there when you create anything, but especially when you're taking something, like you said, you literally are creating something from scratch, you know, you're putting it out there and not even just the actual physical knife, but like your entire brand, like everything. I mean, there's a big piece of you in it, you know, and while if you say it out loud, it sounds stupid to say that, okay, somebody doesn't like your knife, so you're going to like get your feelings hurt. You know, that kind of sounds stupid when you say it, but when you got your emotions attached to it, it's really hard not to.
Yeah. I mean, when you're literally, you know, putting everything out there from, you know, like you said, the brand, the design, the physical labor, the money, the everything, and then just you get nothing in return for it emotionally.
Yeah.
You know, it's
or to get a bunch of negative in return.
Yeah, that's worse. But yeah.
it's one thing. It is hard enough for somebody to not like your stuff. But then there's also, I mean, we all know that there's people out there that are going to, you know, they're essentially trolls. They're going to say something negative. They're going to say it in the worst possible way, you know, just basically to get attention. And it's easy to sit here and say that now when you're not in the middle of it. But when somebody pops on there with a smart comment or something, and it's really hard not to let it get to you.
I think with you being the size you are in comparison to me, you kind of probably deal with a lot more, you know, negative than I would think.
It definitely does. I mean, it's always there, but the more stuff you're putting out, obviously the more chance you have for people to find things that they don't like or whatever. Yeah. Plus you draw more attention. I mean, the more attention you get, I think attention is a huge thing in our society right now. It's basically, you know, currency in our current society. So, it's relatively easy for anybody to get it. We all have a platform now, you know, that attention's always been currency. I mean, people have, you know, businesses have always paid big money to have Super Bowl ads and everything else because of the attention. It's just that now everybody has a platform to do whatever. All they got to do is get on there and make a smart ass comment on somebody that's, you know, that they know they're going to get a response from either them or their supporters, and they've got attention, and that's all they wanted in the first place.
Definitely.
So, anyway, like I say, we can very quickly get down a deep discussion.
About to say. We need to get back on track, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So, we'll deeper into that. So, going on the shop right now, we're done with shows for the year. Will we starting back up in I think March of next year is the Texas show. Yeah. So right now we're just kind of. The end of the year always tends to slow down a little bit. As far as sales, we don't typically slow down as far as what we're doing in the shop. I've just found that at the price point that we're at, you know, most of the people that are buying our stuff are dudes that are buying stuff for themselves. And this time of year, they're spending all that extra money on gifts for the family and stuff. So it's just the normal state of things. So we're actually getting a little bit of inventory built up, getting ready to hit it strong the first of the year. Working on slowly but surely working on a brand new design that's not going to just be a variation of the Mac 2, but something completely different. So that's our big goal for coming up here pretty quickly. So let's see. One of the biggest struggles we're facing right now, we'll elaborate way more on this later, but is figuring out how to cut down lead time and stuff. Like, we still cannot keep pace with like having the stuff that we outsource to our US based resources that we use, like, which is not much anymore, but like heat treat, blade grinding, just trying to keep everything moving. And that's still one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah. And that's been consistent since we started this whole deal in 2019, you know.
Yeah, it has. And it's smoothing out some. I mean, some of it, like now with blades, we got behind because we were going to start grinding our own blades as far as the surface grinding or double disc grinding. Took way longer to get the double disc than we thought, then got the double disc and discovered that it wasn't going to really work out that great to try to grind handles and blades on the double disc, that we needed a dedicated machine to grind the blades. So we bought a surface grinder. We got it up and running and figured out how to use it. And by the time we did all that, then we were behind the curve as far as getting more blanks out the door to have them ground. Yep. So it's just, you know, I think a lot of that's going to smooth out in the coming year because we've just got so many more of the processes in-house now. We just don't have that many processes that we're outsourcing. So that cuts down on the lead time stuff. But yeah, that's probably our biggest struggle at the moment. Other than that, when we have abundant parts, we're actually moving at a pretty good pace right now. And so I've been pretty happy with that. We've gotten to a pretty good place over the last 2 or 3 months here of speeding up on our assembly and finishing and stuff. So,
That's good.
what about you? What do you got going on right now?
Just mainly working on folder orders right now, just trying to kind of get to the end of those and, kind of just doing whatever works, kind of got some fixed blades in the process too, and, do a few of them here and there, do a few folders, and sometime over this in December, I plan on getting that surface grinder that I got from you back up and running. So
Cool.
got it apart. I just got a. Turns out the bearing was a little more difficult to get to than I thought it was going to be.
Pray to
That whole
that.
thing. Yeah, it's hidden in that big old cast nose thing.
Right.
So yeah. But yeah, beyond that, I mean, I'm just kind of plugging away one at a time. I'm done for
Yep.
shows until I'm going to be doing Texas for the first time in March. So I'm excited for
Cool.
that.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to come to that.
I've got which I realize like. This December is my 5 year anniversary of knife making.
Cool.
Finished my first one that I call a knife in December of 2019.
Yeah,
So,
that's a cool landmark. Yeah.
yeah. So I'm planning on kind of I'm bringing some cool stuff to Texas for that. That's the
Oh,
plan
yeah.
at least.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good timing. Cool.
Yeah. I figured be a fun little thing. I'm gonna do plan is right now I'm doing five different fixed blade folder sets where I'm going to do a fixed blade and a folder all together as one package and sort of try to chronologically, I don't know, mirror my progression. So
Okay.
like one of the sets is going to have a Hamon and stuff because I used to do a lot of that being in your
Yeah.
shop and kind of do sort of what I've track my evolution through five sets of knives, I guess. So
Right. Kind of as far as like the design, the processes you use and all that. So with your updated skills at this point. So yeah, that's
Hopefully.
cool. That's a great idea. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that.
Hopefully
Awesome.
it goes well. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it will. Well, we're
Other
going
than
to try to
that.
Not let this thing run too long here. Going forward, I'm sure some of them will probably stretch a little closer to an hour. We're going to try to stick with the 30 to 45 minute time range as much as possible. I'm sure we'll get long-winded at times, me especially. But we do want to ask you guys, please give us a follow, a subscribe. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe. Please drop in comments. Chase was saying we want to try to incorporate a question and answer section once we've been doing it long enough to get some questions built up and stuff. Maybe do like a just a very short one or two questions at the end of every show kind of thing. So guys, please by all means drop us questions. We're going to create an email where you can send them in if you're just listening on audio. But for now, you can either just hit us up on either one of our profiles on Instagram or wherever, which we're going to drop in just a second. And then you can hit them on the comments, and YouTube would probably be the best place to do them. So yeah, please give us a follow, give us some feedback, give us a review on the audio side of things. We'd really appreciate it. We'd like to get this thing going in here and reach as many people as possible. So, and on that note, Chase, tell them where they can to find you for now.
I'm mostly on Instagram, at Boatwright Blade Works, and that's BOATRIGHT. There's no W in there. And then Blade Works is all one word. I also have a Facebook, not on it very much. And I've got a website, boatwrightbladeworks.bigcartel.com. And that's mostly where I hang out and do my thing. So,
Cool.
but Instagram's probably your best bet as far as, if you want to get in contact with me.
Yep. Good deal. Yeah, he does a pretty good job of keeping everything updated. So definitely make sure you follow him. He posts some good content. And for us, we're just McNeeseKnives.com for the website. McNeese Knives on Instagram. We're also mostly on Instagram. We do have Facebook. We have a Facebook group. It's just McNeese Knives on there as well. I don't personally go in the Facebook group very much. Amy handles most of that for me. We've got a couple of moderators, but yeah, pretty much just and also guys, I'm gonna go ahead and encourage you now for us, and I know for Chase too, and I'm gonna throw it back to you to give them your email address. With the current state of, I'm hoping maybe things get a little bit better going forward, but the way social media has been treating us for quite some time now, the absolute best way to make sure that you can still hear from us and find out about what we've got going on and get in on drops and stuff like that is to be on our email list. For us, you can just go straight to our site at MuniceKnives.com, and there's a place where you can sign up for the email list. That's the best place to know, because they can't take that away from us. They can't censor us on that. So Chase, give them your where to find to sign up on yours.
It's also on my website, boatrightbladeworks.bigcartel.com. There's a little subscribe to newsletter thing down at the bottom. So
perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. That's, I think for all of us, that's going to become more important going forward. If the social media trend doesn't, especially Instagram and Facebook, doesn't turn around as far as how they're censoring us and not showing our content and that kind of stuff. So, highly encourage you to do that. And we're going to try to do this. I don't know what the schedule is going to be yet. We've never even edited a podcast, so I don't know how long it's going to take. We're probably going to end up trying to start recording on weekends so that it can be a little quieter in the shop here, and I can actually have some decent recording space. So I'm thinking maybe we can try to put them out like the first of the week, Monday or Tuesday, if we're able to record on the weekend every week, but we'll hash that out going forward. I have no idea when this is even gonna air yet, so we'll figure it all out. And for the YouTube side of things, I know we're going to need to start doing some putting some show notes or something, probably on audio too, putting some notes down in the notes section or whatever, and any things that we reference or whatever, where we can put links and stuff. So not as much today to do, but going forward, I'm sure we'll be wanting to put some links to things that we're talking about and referencing. So anything else you can think of today?
Not really. I'm just excited.
Yeah, me too. I think this is a decent first discussion here. Nothing exploded and my microphone's not smoking. So I think maybe it turned out okay. We hope you guys enjoy. We really appreciate you. And don't forget to keep that Knife Freak flag flying. We got to figure out a good outro here. That'll do for today.
All right.
All right, guys. We appreciate you. Talk to you later.